May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Our lesson today was from the prophet Joel. Joel was prophesying to the people of Israel and Judea about something scholars debate about. Was he predicting the coming of the Assyrians? Was he predicting the coming of the Babylonians? Was he lamenting the coming of the Assyrians or the coming of the Babylonians? That argument is an argument of locusts. Don't worry about it. Joel did not write about the Assyrians. He wrote about locusts. Joel was not a foolish prophet, and the Lord was not foolish for working with him. And if he had meant Assyrians or Babylonians, he would have written such. But the locusts do represent, like the Assyrians, falsities. Falsities that come upon those who are weak and wicked and destroy everything that is there. Falsities that lead to evil and despair and desolation. Yet falsities that also bring vastation, moments of repentance and freedom, and the bliss that comes with regeneration. Joel prophesied that there were four kinds of locusts: chewing locusts, swarming locusts, crawling locusts, and consuming locusts. Some might translate these as peel worms or as caterpillars. But we know essentially they're pests that eat and destroy all the vines and trees and pomegranates and even all the trees of the field, so that they are dead and desiccated, dried up. And the word says, for joy is dried up from the sons of man. Here, directly in the literal sense, we have genuine truth shining forth. Joy is dried up from the sons of men. The children of Israel, when they were defeated by their enemies, were always defeated because they had turned away from the Lord. They were defeated by the Assyrians because they began to worship Assyrian gods. And they were destroyed and taken captive by the Babylonians because they did not trust in the Lord. Falsity has a similar approach. It comes and will dry up the sons of man and take away all its joy, if it is believed. Locusts come and kill everything. We can think of the locusts as the lies that the hells teach. They are teaching doctrines, just like the word, but wicked, evil, twisted, and perverse teachings. It is not a coincidence that there are four kinds of locusts, and that there are four core sins that man falls into. Sins of murder, adultery, theft, and lying. But the locusts as a whole are particularly about the lies. The lies that we believe, the false witness that we believe, and the false witness that we want to believe. The false witness of hell. Locusts come in, and at first, there may only be one, and they may be interesting. A mild buzzing that brings an interest. But one locust generally foretells many. Like someone who is caught up in a lie and tells another lie to cover it. Until there is a swarm of lies, blotting out the sun like a dark cloud, a storm cloud. We might believe such lies from hell. Where at first we might believe in one small lie, that in this case it's okay to be mean, or in this case it's okay to cheat Or in this case, it's okay to steal. All of them are because we have a heart that loves the lie. The armies of Assyria and Babylon may enter the kingdom because the kingdom invites them in. And the locusts swarm, covering the kingdom and destroying all the crops. They take the crops of marriage. They take the crops of life. They take the crops of goods, and they take the crops of truths. They destroy everything. And all that is left is dried up, desiccated. We know that a farm field that is dried up and desiccated because all the fruit has been devoured is ripe for an even worse fate, a storm of fire. Joel continues that a fire devours before them, and behind them, a flame sets aflame. For the land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind, a desolate wilderness. You can imagine the Garden of Eden, full of fruit and joy, and behind it, a desolate, desiccated, ashen wasteland, hell. The problem with locusts and with lies is that when they truly destroy everything, they don't merely destroy truth, but they destroy good with it. As the locusts come down, fire of hell surely follows after, arrayed like an army to destroy everything in its path. We might think that at this moment there is no hope. But as any good farmer might tell you, or any good manager of forests, or any good biologist, after a fire is often the greatest hope. There are always seeds ready for life, ready, waiting, and thirsty for rain. Waiting, ready, and thirsty for rain, those seeds. And the Lord promises in Joel that the rain will come. But man must turn back. Turn back with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and wailing. And the key here is, rend your heart, not your garments. The children of Israel were used to hearing stories about kings and judges and men of great valor rending their garments when terrible news is delivered to them. Indeed, the Lord even instructs them to rend their garments in earlier ages. But in Joel, and with the prophet Joel, the Lord is asking for more. He's asking them to rend their hearts. Imagine that, rending your heart, taking your heart and tearing it in two. It is a striking image. And again, it is shining forth genuine truth. That repentance is not merely returning to the Lord, but looking within your heart and realizing that there is a heart of evil and a heart of good from the Lord. The locusts were invited in by the heart of evil, and with them came the storm of fire. But the Lord has implanted in each of us remains, a seed that has an affection for good and truth. Thirsty for water implanted in you, always ready. No matter how terrible or evil it gets, that seed is always within each of our hearts. Often we see that for many people it must hit bottom, as they say. A better way of saying it might be it must become dry and ashen for people to truly return to the Lord. This is a story of the gravest of temptations, the story of temptations that reach despair, where we look at ourselves and we recognize that there is nothing we can do without the Lord. And so we turn to him, and we turn to him faithful that he will bring rain and bring with rain life. Joel continues, "Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yes, the Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you the grain and the must and the olive oil, and you shall be satisfied with it. I will no more put you as a reproach among the nations. Fear not, for the Lord will do great things. The Lord is promising joy, good, that joy will return to the sons of man, that joy might return to our lives, if will we return to him. If we rend our hearts, the Lord will bring rain, and more good will sprout forth than we ever intended. The threshing floor will be full of grain. The wine presses shall overflow with must and with olive oil, overflowing joy and good. In a sense, when you see the swarms of locusts, a dark cloud looming overhead, you may be wary that a storm of fire approaches. But have faith. No matter how bad it gets, the Lord's rain can come if we rend our hearts. There are four phases of temptation. First, falsity approaches our hearts, our natural loves, our hearts of evil, and we love it. But that evil consumes us and destroys us. And then the Lord promises truth. And if we follow that truth, we receive life. The fulcrum, the turning point, is where we have freedom, where we may repent, where we may rend our hearts. So have faith. The Lord promises heaven to those who wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, for surely his rain will come. He will cause the shower to come down for you, the earlier rain and the later rain in the first month. Amen. And now to the one God of heaven and earth, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.